prepared during an accident. During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical course potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Chuck Crismeyer. And Chuck was a lawyer who was called into the radio ministry. And of course, if you want to hear his programs, you just go to our website at RadioLiberty.com and go to Listen Online, and you'll listen to Chuck Crismeyer's programs 3 hours a day. He's up there on the satellite along with Radio Liberty, and we share that satellite feed so that people across America can get his message. But Chuck has written a number of insightful books, which we've carried. But I think we're going to be carrying this one as well. It's called The Seduction of the Saints. And in the opening preface, he talks about, his concern, and he says this: over a period of 3 or 4 years, as my health deteriorated with a mounting stress from the developing picture of a spiritually backslidden nation, I came to face with the reality that despite the daily reasoning, wooing, and warnings by radio, I couldn't change the hearts of those who claim the name of Christ. Only God, by His Spirit, can change a man or woman's heart. I was a mere messenger. And I think that that is such a profound statement, because that's the conclusion I've come to myself. Our job is just simply to put the information out. It's up to God to move people. Chuck Crismeyer, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, Stan, it's just a delight to be back with you and your listeners.
Well, certainly your book, I think, is a very important book, because, of course, Chuck is talking about trying to understand what in heaven's name is going on today. And, of course, you can't understand what's going on unless you understand that heaven and God have a lot to do with it. So I'm going to let you pick up the story. I love your analogy of the great ship Titanic, which nobody thought could be sunk, comparing it to what's going on today. You pick up the story.
Well, that's true, Stan. I'm not sure I want to reveal the secret there. Here on the air, people need to get a hold of that book and find out why the Titanic sank. But it directly links to the subject of the book, The Seduction of the Saints. And it's a fascinating thing, and it just unfolded. The reality, the truth behind the Titanic just unfolded just as I was putting the finishing touches on writing the book. So one of the last chapters that was written was the first chapter. Fascinating thing. So people need to get a hold of it just for that. But the point is, of that chapter, that oftentimes it's seemingly little things, seemingly things that we don't think are all that significant, that actually become the things that take us down. And so it is in the area of deception. Deception is so deceptive because the reality is that when we're deceived, we don't realize it. That's why it's so dangerous. And yet, there is a propensity in every human being, Christian or otherwise, to be deceived. There is actually a latent will to be deceived. And so we probably need to talk a little bit further about that and its implications for those particularly who are followers of Christ.
And I think we are living in certainly one of the most amazing times in all history. In fact, I feel privileged to live at this time. Never before have all of the things that were laid out in the Scriptures 2,000 years been in place. And never before have the Jews returned to the Holy Land. Never before have we had the ability to number every individual and to control them as well as we can. But we'll be back in just a moment with Chuck Crismeyer to talk about his book, The Seduction of the Saints. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Chuck Crismeyer. I was going to refer to him as Pastor Chuck Crismeyer, but he's not. He's a lawyer. And, of course, this, what was it, 18, 20 years ago or more, he was called from a very successful law practice to actually go into talk radio in about 1992, about the time I was getting involved in this, 1993, 1944, 1955. He starts doing talk radio, and he's been doing it now for a number of years on a daily basis. And, of course, using the medium of radio to begin to try to warn people about the signs of the times and to prepare them for what lies ahead. So you pick up the story there, Chuck.
Yeah, Stan, actually, today I began my 15th year on the air. And it has been every day for 15 years and quite a trip, quite a journey. Sometimes I have actually thought, you know, I would probably not make it beyond the next week, but God in His mercy has kept us going. And indeed, the calling is to woo and to warn God's people, to prepare the way of the Lord for history's final hour. And I think, as I talk with pastors and parachurch leaders and other Christians across this land and around the world, there is almost a universal sense that indeed we are in that moment of time called the last days or the end of the age. And which means, if that be true, that in fact deception is going to be one of the greatest things that we have to be concerned about. Because Jesus, 2 days before his crucifixion, was sitting on the Mount of Olives with his disciples, sharing with them the things that were dearest to his heart. Realizing that he was going to be shortly crucified. And so his disciples ask him, as he's overlooking the eastern gate of Jerusalem and he's overlooking the Temple Mount, they ask him, "Master, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And the very first thing that Jesus says to them is, "Take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed that no man deceive you." Now, bear in mind, he's talking with his disciples. These are people who have been following him close on for 3.5 years. These are the people who Jesus is about to invest the future hope of the church in. And he's telling them that they should beware of deception. Interestingly, the Apostle Paul picks up the very same theme and warns about the massive deception that's going to take place at the end of the age.
Hold that thought for just a moment as we bring our other stations right back on board here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Chuck is talking about the deception that Christ had said, you know, during the latter, just before he dies, you know, be sure that no one deceives you. And then St. Paul talks about the deception that will come just before the end of the age. And of course, I believe that all the signs are in place for the return of the Lord. There's nothing, I don't know when it's going to occur, but we're told to watch the signs, and the signs will be there as it was in the days of Noah, which was a corrupt time, and boy, do we live in a corrupt world today. But our Lord and St. Paul warned of deception, so go right ahead.
Yes, they sure did. In fact, Paul said that just before, the identity of the counterfeit or antichrist is revealed, that there will be a massive falling away, which means, as Jesus said, the hearts of many who profess his name are going to grow cold, which means they are in a prime condition to be deceived. Now, Paul, talking to the Thessalonian church, said that the reason people are going to be deceived, there are two main reasons. One, they do not love the truth. And two, they take pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, if there was ever a time when truth has been attacked, in fact, we call it a postmodern world in which truth and the ability to even know truth is denied. And it's even mocked. So the whole world has become like Pontius Pilate today, asking the question, what is truth? And then, in addition to that, the world mocks righteousness. If you look at our nation today, all you have to do is go on television for one or two days, and you'll see how the world mocks righteousness. Even our leaders mock righteousness. Righteousness has become something to be mocked, whereas unrighteousness is reveled in. And so we have an environment right now in our world that is primed for massive deception. Peter, the apostle, said that there would be many deceivers who would be seducing and being seduced, deceiving and being deceived. Again, I believe it was Peter who said that within our churches, leaders, pastors, would make merchandise of the people, deceiving them. And so we have all of these descriptions, all of these conditions that are currently in place, and the reality is that the people are being deceived. In fact, we have been living in a generation of deception. It comes through politically, it comes through economically, it comes through governmentally, it comes through sciences. Even the sciences are deceiving today because there are false motivations. The business world is deceiving. And just as all of these other more secular realms are deceiving, so the deception has entered the church.
And I think that is the real problem that we face today. You know, if the church was standing against the deception, it would be one thing. But we find out so many of the people publishing Christian books are not Christians. We find that certainly many of the Christian book club putting out books that are frankly heretical. Even many of our so-called Christian radio and television programs are not preaching the gospel. They're preaching a false gospel. But are Christians discerning enough? And tragically, I don't think they are. I don't think they recognize what's happening.
Well, it's true. And, of course, one of the reasons for that is not only the very deceptive environment out there in the world as a whole, but it's also the fact that the whole idea of truth is being denied. And over the past generation, the very concept of teaching truth in our churches has largely been changed. Instead of presenting the faith, we have been pandering to people's feelings. And the world of psychology and psychological thinking has preempted the hope of the gospel. So now, the general talk in our congregations is not about being saved from sin. It's about being healed from the consequences of sin. And so we don't really talk about the cross anymore. We talk about, how we can be healed from the consequences of our rebellion. And so a kind of political correctness, which I call, it's a corollary of political correctness called religious correctness, has taken hold in the church. One of the clearest expressions of that, and we can understand this, for instance, using the word gay. We all understand how the word gay was co-opted to achieve a particular agenda. It used to mean happy, blissful. It was a wonderful word to express the joy of life. But then it was co-opted to soften the import and the negative aspects of the homosexual lifestyle. And by using the word gay, it made it seem acceptable and so on. Well, in the church, we have done a similar kind of thing. For instance, one classic expression would be the word grace. The word grace is a wonderful word. It's used in the scripture to mean God's unmerited favor and his enabling power to enable us or equip us to obey him, to do what he expects us to do. Unfortunately, it's been redefined in a functional way in our churches. It now means God's willingness to overlook our sin and accept us and take us as we are without repentance. And that just is not true. And so the whole church has been sucked into this false version of grace and turned it into disgrace. We've actually dissed God's grace. And one of the ways that we've done that is by expressing a false attitude toward a four-letter word called obey. Obedience is the one thing that Jesus said we would have to do to please him. In John 14, four times he says, if you love me, you'll obey me. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you don't love me, you won't obey me. And if you obey me and keep my commandments, I and my Father will reveal ourselves to you. John the Apostle turns around and he says the same thing. He said, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments and they're not grievous. But today in our evangelical churches, we hate the word obey. The word obey is the most hated word in the church today. How did something that was the one thing that Jesus said would be necessary for us to show our love for him turn out to be such a despised word? How did we get by with such a dramatic change of our focus on God and his expectations in our lives? Well, we decided to call obedience a bad thing. And so now we label all conversation about obedience legalism. The moment you hear somebody talk about obedience, somebody comes up and says, that's legalism, or that's a gospel of works. So we have actually found a religious way to deceive ourselves, to wrap our own deception in a robe of semi-righteousness and hide. We've used religion as a fig leaf to hide from our disobedience from God.
Well, you know, it's really very interesting that so many people today reject the idea that God could ever punish anybody or let anybody go to hell, for rejecting him. And there are really even many ministers who don't believe in hell or believe in eternal punishment. And really, of course, if you take a God of judgment out of the Bible, why, you end up, of course, you don't really need a Savior at all. And this is what they've done. We don't no longer talk about how we're all sinners saved by grace.
Yep.
We don't want to admit we're sinners. We want to think that we're good and God is good, yep, and God loves everybody no matter what they do.
See, it's been a complete switch, Stan, in the thinking concerning our relationship with God and with others. From the very beginning of this nation, for instance, it was understood by our founders that mankind was essentially sinful. And that's why we needed a government of checks and balances, and why our founders despised the very concept of pure democracy. They felt that it was the most despotic form of government, the most dangerous, and so they gave us a democratic republic with all kinds of checks and balances to offset man's sinful human nature. But when psychology came along in the 1960s, and it began to enter into the church house, we began to move away from the conviction, the biblical conviction, that men are essentially sinful, to the conviction that men are essentially good, and they're just a few bad apples, and we just need to get rid of the few bad apples, and everything would be wonderful. That is a total denial of the gospel, a total denial of God's assessment of mankind. And so deception is rampant at every single corner. Now, in writing a book like Seduction of the Saints is very challenging because there are so many forms of deception and so many permutations and combinations of the way it can be presented that if you allow yourself to be caught up with rabbit trails of too many illustrations, you'll never get anywhere. So we organized the book into six categories, to way to look at it in a logical way. And I'll tell you, as people have been reading this book, Stan, it has gripped their hearts, and they're calling us and they're saying, give me some more books. I want to give them out to my friends. It's been incredible.
Well, I'm certainly, we will carry the book, because I think we need to minister to people, and I think it's a very effective means of drawing people's attention to what the real problem is today, and that's man's revolt against God, and we don't like the way he is, we don't like his rules, we're going to change them to our way of thinking, and well, unfortunately, that's not the way the game works. We'll be back in just a moment. Go right ahead. Chuck.
Yeah, Stan, in addition, you know, we not only have deception in terms of theological deception, but there are many other ways to look at deception. And one of the things that we need to be concerned about, there's a threshold issue that you probably should have talked about earlier on, and that is the whole idea that saints can be deceived. There is a belief within huge realms of the professing Christian community that saints can't be deceived. And here's how they arrive at that. You'll go to Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus said that the deception in the end times will be so great that if it were possible, the very elect will be deceived. And here's how they reason. I profess Christ as my Savior. I'm the elect. Therefore, I can't be deceived. Well, that interpretation of what Jesus said renders all of Jesus' warnings meaningless, renders all the Apostle Paul's warnings. Leading them down the path of deception. And that's why, as we approach, as we're in the end of the age now, that's where his focus is. His focus is intensifying to do whatever it takes to take down as many people as he can, especially those of the household of faith.
Go right ahead.
Now, in addition to that, Stan, as we look at for instance, right now, this nation is in the context of some major political and economic upheaval. The whole world is in the midst of massive economic and political upheaval. And we know that in the last 60 days, 90 days, that the whole world has been pressing as hard as they can toward the establishment of a new world or new global order. The various leaders of the world have decreed it. The Prime Minister of Britain, Gordon Brown, Nicolas Sarkozy, Merkel, Barroso of Spain, all of them are calling for the new world order. It was Nixon's foreign policy guru, Henry Kissinger, who within the last 45 days decreed Barack Obama as the messenger of hope and inspiration to lead the world into the new world order. So we have this going on as an environment in which Christians now are living. Are we going to be sucked in or deceived in the massive deception that all of this is setting up?
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Pastor Chris Myers, I'd say Chuck Chris Myers, is really talking about how leaders throughout the world, whether it be Gordon Brown of Great Britain, or Sarkozy of France, or even Henry Kissinger, has called for the New World Order. In fact, that Henry Kissinger has said that for all intents and purposes, that Obama is going to lead us into this New World Order. Are Christians going to recognize what's going on? You cannot look at what's happening from a financial point of view or from a political point of view without looking at it from a spiritual point of view and from the historical point of view as far as the prophecy. So pick the story up there, Chuck.
All right. Now, looking at the press, the global press toward a new world order, in that context, we see ourselves both as a nation and internationally in this massive economic upheaval. Well, next week, the Bilderberger Group is going to be gathering in Greece for the express purpose of setting the direction for picking up where the G20 left off in London, now picking it up to set the direction for the new global order. Well, as we speak, though, in this country, our current president is leading this nation in a most dramatic way to shift off of its previous constitutional, economic, and political, and spiritual axis to a completely different axis. And that axis is democratic socialism. Now, I don't want us to get too hung up with the political and economic talk here. I'm using this to demonstrate a spiritual deception that is in process as we speak. And it goes like this. God wants us to trust Him. The most important thing that He is after is our trust. Our trust is revealed in our obedience. If He can take down our obedience, if Satan can deceive us into thinking that obedience is somehow against God, and it's not something to be striven for, then He's already weakened us to be receptive to the cry of this new global order, which is going to demand our trust. Democratic socialism is deceptive. It is profoundly deceptive. All of Europe has embraced it. Israel has embraced it. And now America is the last holdout country in the developed world that has not fallen under the spell of democratic socialism. What's the problem with democratic socialism? The problem with democratic socialism is that it twists or carries man's trust away from God to government. In the 2 weeks ago, Time magazine had an article, a feature article, dealing with the first 100 days of Barack Obama's administration. And in there, the analysis was that Barack Obama had put his finger on the current condition and thinking of the American people more than any other politician. How so? He determined that Americans wanted more government and wanted to put more trust in their government. Well, what does that say spiritually? It says that Americans have been walking progressively away from their trust in God for a whole generation. Now they are up a trust creek without a paddle, and they are wanting to shift their trust to government. That is a profoundly dangerous position to be in on the near edge of the second coming.
But of course, I don't think that the American people feel that way. I think that this is the way that Time magazine and Newsweek, that's the way the establishment wants. They want us to give the idea that we've got to put our faith in government, but I have a lot more faith in the American people. They may
well,
be
that's
deceived,
what Colin Powell said, though. He reiterated the same thing. Americans want more government, and they're willing to pay for it. And quite frankly, the trend of things, and I would have to disagree with you on this one, I do believe that that is the direction things are going, even within evangelicalism. The trust, the shift of trust to government, and where it's going to lead us inexorably, Stan, is to receive the mark of the beast. God's people, professing Christians, are being set up to be so weak in their faith. Their trust in God is going to be so weak that they will rationalize their acceptance of the mark of the beast, expressing final worship and trust in government.
Well, Chris, I just think that every Christian has to be warned, because that's the one thing you're not going to be allowed to do when, of course, enter the kingdom.
Yep.
You cannot take the mark of the beast. And believe me, they want everybody numbered, everybody to have an ID, everybody to be watched. That's why they're putting up the video cameras every place. That's why, of course, they're doing everything they can to monitor the American people. All right, let's hucker right ahead.
Stan, this issue of deception is so profound. It is the ultimate issue of our time, the ultimate spiritual issue of our time. And, you know, when I wrote this book, Seduction of the Saints, I had intended to bring it out in mid-October of 2008. I did everything I could to bring it out. I could not get the book out then. And finally, we got it out April 1st of 2009. And as I look back, I realize, and I thank the Lord, that he prohibited me from bringing it out when I originally intended to bring it out. Because in the 6 months that transpired since when I had originally intended to bring it out, and when it actually came out, the whole world had turned upside down. The whole country had turned upside down. And men and women are primed to receive this message now. It is utterly incredible. Stan, we have never experienced, all the books that I've written, we have never experienced the kind of response that I'm getting now to this book. As I said, people are, you know, they'll buy a copy and they'll end up after reading two or three chapters, they're so gripped by virtually every page that they call us up and they say, I want another three or four copies or half a dozen. We have actually had about 12 people right now, and it only came out April 1st. We've had about 12 people that have ordered full cases of the books just to give out to friends and pastors and so on. We had a lady from California, where you are, who just this last weekend ordered 8 cases of these books to give out to pastors and parachurch leaders. People are gripped by the times that we're in, and they realize, yes, indeed, the seduction is exactly as the Scripture said, perhaps even worse than we ever expected. And what we do in this book, for instance, there is a series of 3 chapters that talk about the truth about deception. It's broken down so a busy person can read it in bits and pieces. You don't have to sit down for an hour and read the whole thing, although people are doing
that. Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is our good friend Chuck Chrismeyer, who shares our satellite with us. And if you want to hear his programs, you can go to our website or go to his website and hear the programs. Before we go on, Chuck, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your website, how they can get your ministry, how they can hear your radio programs.
Well, thank you, Stan. We can be heard on our own website, which is saveus.org. That's www.saveus.org. Right there on the archive section of the website, any time of the day or night, anywhere in the world. And then, of course, on the global system that you and I are on. Those are the two main things that I would say at this time. People are listening all over the world. It's utterly amazing. From the middle of the Mediterranean, we just had an order from New Zealand, 3 copies of this new book, Seduction of the Saints. It's just almost overwhelming what's happening. And what it's telling us is that there is a witness in people's hearts, Stan, that these really are the end times. The end times are not something that we're looking forward to sometime in the dim, distant future. We're here. The signs are upon us, and there is, let's put it this way, in Israel, even among the seculars in Israel, they're still calling it the Messianic Age. They believe this is the Messianic Age. Even in the Islamic world, they believe it's the Messianic Age. We're in this final moment as mankind is seeking to replace God and do his best to rebuild the Tower of Babel by merging his best economic system, his best currency system, his best legal system, his best governmental system, all focused on man and not God. And out of that will come a synchristic unifying religious system. That system is in the preparation as we speak, and even with the Pope's visit to Israel and the Middle East, which began today, one of the major focuses of this, unbeknownst to most people, I think, one of the major focuses of this is to set the stage for the one world religion, to unify the Islamic world with the Roman Catholic world, and it is utterly incredible. In fact, we trace this in our book, The Seduction of the Saints, and show how historically it's all coming to pass. The picture is laid out with such clarity so that we can understand and begin to take seriously our lives. You know, Stan, it's one thing to get fascinated by issues of prophecy. It's another thing to prepare the way of the Lord in your own life. And that's why the theme on our radio program, we complete almost every broadcast saying, we're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. And that means, as Peter said, seeing then that all these things are going to happen, how should we then live? And this book helps. It is a guide to avoid the pitfalls of the massive deception that is taking place. It shows how we can identify the various forms of deception. What are the gateways to deception? How do we end up on this road of deception from which there is little escape? How do we avoid that? How can we see the signposts of deception in our lives? That's what this book is about. And I think that's the reason why, you know, within the first few chapters, people are already gripped by it and realize this is not like any other book they've ever read.
Well, it's a fascinating, fascinating book, and I certainly recommend it to our listeners. And I think that we will probably be, I'm sure we will be carrying this as soon as we can talk to Chuck. It's well written, and it's a book whose time has come. We need to get the Christians prepared for what lies ahead and to keep them aware of the fact that there is an organized effort to deceive them. In fact, one of the things that really amazes me, there's a book out now called The Shack. It is being pushed by some of our local churches, by our major local Christian school right here in the Monterey Bay area where I live. It's being recommended by ministries. They're holding Bible studies about this and has nothing to do with the Bible. The man who wrote it doesn't believe in the Bible. He has an entirely different theology. And yet, of course, this is being actually pushed by some of our major Christian ministries today. And it's been on the best-selling list on the New York Times, which praises this as a wonderful Christian book,
yeah.
Which, of course, should immediately make you realize that if the New York Times is in favor of it, it is not.
Well, you know what it does. So you have to distill, what is it that causes people to be led astray by the book and its message. It's the replacement of the truth of the faith by feelings. That's what it is. It causes us to ride on our feelings rather than what is true. And the faith once delivered to the saints. And feelings have replaced our faith in most of our churches, even in our pulpits. The clearest expression, and I know I'm going to step on some tender toes here. I can't help but do it. But, Stan, there is I'm going to give some statistics here that prove how deep our deception is. Are you ready for this?
Go right ahead.
Right now, the divorce rate for the last 15 years in the church has equaled or exceeded the nation as a whole. The divorce rate in the Bible Belt of America, the greatest concentration of professing Bible-believing Christians, has been 50% higher than the nation as a whole for the last 12 years, causing six governors of southern states to declare a marital emergency. The divorce rate among our pastors for the last 12 years has equaled or exceeded that of their parishioners and is the highest second highest of all professions in the country. That which Jesus said he hated, we say, is an answer to prayer. When Jesus said, whoever divorces their spouse and causes them to commit adultery, we say, that another frisky filly coming along, even though we have a spouse who is still living, we say it's an answer to prayer because God wants me happy when he says he wants us holy. Now we're neither happy nor holy. We're massively deceived, and now we're so deeply rooted in this deceptive practice, substituting our happiness for holiness, that we don't know how to get out of it. The pain, the agony of this rebellion, deceptive rebellion, is so massive and so great in this country that it actually has the greatest economic effect, more than anything else on our economy, is divorce. And then abortion. 50 million people, babies having been killed in the last, since 1973, 50 million who all the statistics in business and so on had expected to be there to fulfill Social Security, to be there to fulfill all of the various expectations, and they're not there. They're not there in the workforce. The whole economy is imploding, not because of the Nixon administration or the Bush administration. It's imploding because the chickens are coming home to roost because of our rebellion and deception.
I think you're absolutely right, and that's, of course, one reason why they're bringing all the illegal immigrants, why they're encouraging them to come in, why the police can't even arrest them if they're here illegally, and why we're subsidizing them here in California, giving them a subsidized education, much more so than somebody coming in from Nevada or Oregon coming to our colleges, because, of course, they can't tell the American people, but there's an organized program to bring people in here illegally simply because we've killed so many of our own people.
Well, that is one of the reasons, and the other reason is, which is also deceptive, and that is that at the higher echelons of power, they've already committed themselves to the new global order, and they have to establish these regional governments, including the North American Union, just as the EU, the Mediterranean Union, the Southeast Asia Union, the African Union, and so on. All of these unions are forming to fulfill the prophecy of Daniel. And so they have to do this, and they are willing, believe this, they are willing to allow Americans to die. They're willing to allow our economy to implode because of the insurgence of these immigrants, illegitimate immigrants. They're willing to allow that to happen in order to achieve the bigger, grand, global political objective. That's not being disclosed.
A multilingual, multicultural society, and it is all planned, and this is why they don't want English to be the official language of our country. There are people who hate America, but this is all part of, you're exactly right, it's all part of the globalist move. And it's called Christians understand that there really is a move to destroy the sovereignty of our nation.
Pastors do not see it. In fact, their pastors are so infatuated with impressing the current culture that they won't even allow people to talk about these things in their pulpits. They won't. It's all deceptive. We have abandoned Christ and embraced the culture. We've seen it happen over the past 40 years with the church growth movement, first of all, pandering to the culture. Then came the seeker-sensitive movement, moving ever further toward the culture and abandoning the truth. And then now we're in the emerging church movement that has virtually sold out the claims of Christ, embracing wholesale the loyalty to the culture. And, how can we expect people naming the name of Christ to be able to resist the wiles of the devil when they've been set up by such false teaching in their own churches? It just makes me weep.
I know, and I know how deeply you feel about it, and I feel about it very, very deeply, too, which is why I do what I do, and I know that's why you do what you do. Try to sound the alarm to the Christians,
yes. Chris,
but to anybody who will listen. And my hope is, of course, that when people hear this sort of thing, at least they may want to investigate the claims of Christianity. And, of course, when we can convince them how bad things are, that perhaps they'll say, well, there must be a solution. At least let's look at the Bible, because the Bible has to be the very foundation of our belief and our faith. And actually, once you understand the scriptures and the prophecies, you can see them all coming to pass. It's the most amazing thing in the world.
It is an amazing picture. The tapestry is coming together. The threads now are all coming together, and you can see the greater biblical picture emerging right in front of our eyes, Stan. It is utterly astounding. If you have an eye to see and an ear to hear, it's right there.
Well, I mean, it says some beautiful phrases here. One of them I love. It's, we're on a collision course with destiny. We're on a collision course with destiny. And as I read that, I thought, that is exactly what it's all about. And most people, of course, don't understand we're on a collision course. And they certainly don't have any idea what the destiny of the world is.
Yeah. You know, I want people to realize that we're not here to try to tell them the day or the hour of Christ's return. No man knows the day or the hour. Christ himself doesn't know, but the Father only. On the other hand, the Apostle Paul warned us. He said that those who are followers of Christ must know the season. It should not, these things, he said, should not take you unawares, like they're going to take the rest of the world unawares. But the reality is that because of the massive deception that has set the tone here, very precious few are going to escape. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 7, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there will be that find it. Very few. Very, very few. There is a will to be deceived, Stan. And it goes back again to what the Apostle Paul said in to the Thessalonian church. He said, again, talking about the deception, he said that the two primary reasons why God will give them over to massive deception. See, there comes a point when God just gives us over to massive deception. And the reason is because, number one, we love not the truth. And number two, we take pleasure in unrighteousness.
Well, I certainly couldn't disagree with either one of those concepts, and all we can do is sound the alarm. And, of course, we're not going to be able to avoid the coming collision or catastrophe. And I'm not even saying that we're going to necessarily survive, but we have to be prepared for it, and
exactly.
We have to do everything we can.
And that's the reason I wrote the book, is to prepare God's people. And I do believe, you know, I would be very surprised if we had more than 10 years. I would be very surprised if we had more than 10 years before Christ's return. There are a number of things that have to happen, but I would be very, very surprised. And I want to encourage God's people, those who are listening, I want to encourage you to take seriously what we're talking about and to begin to seek the Lord. And he says, if you will seek me, I will be found of you if you'll search for me with all your heart. He wants us to repent. He said, he who has this hope, the hope of the second coming of Christ in him, will purify himself even as he is pure. And if we walk in the light, friends, we're not going to be deceived. Let's walk in the light.
I stand at the door and knock, and whosoever opens unto me, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program right here. Our guest has been Chuck Crismeyer. His book, Seduction of the Saints. It's a beautiful book. Well, Chuck, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program, and then I'll let you go, and we will certainly carry the book.
Wonderful, Stan. You know, Stan, as we're talking about this, there is a tremendous passion that I have. I did not leave the practice of law at the height of my career just to play games. God had specifically called me to woo and to warn his people and to take all of the training, all of the ability that I had to prepare a case and to present it and to make a final argument to God's people to prepare the way of the Lord. And that's what I've been doing for the last 15 years. And this book, Seduction of the Saints, is, I think many people are seeing who have read all of my books are saying this is the pinnacle. This is the finest yet. And I just want to encourage people. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, we must stand. All other ground, democratic socialism, New World Order, nothing else can be relied upon. We have got to come to the place where we trust God and take him totally at his word. Build the promises of God into your life. Take God's word seriously. Don't just hold your Bible and carry it to work or to church, but be a student. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed and that will not be deceived, rightly dividing the word of truth. And take your Bible and take this book, Seduction of the Saints. Use it hand in hand. If you have a small group, the book is designed specifically to be used with small groups with questions to help you massage this through. Families are using this book with their teenagers, sitting around as a family, reading and discussing it. And it's just incredible how people's lives are changing. Don't let these things take you unawares, my friend. This is the hour. This is the ultimate hour that all history is waited for. We're in the moment of decision, in the valley of the moment of truth, in the valley of decision, and we must not allow deception to overtake us.
Well said. Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us, for writing the book, and I will want to get you on all of our other programs, where we have actually three other audiences besides this group this afternoon, but God bless you. Thank you so much, Chuck.
Well, thank you, Stan, and Lord bless you and your listeners.
God bless. Bye-bye. All right, fine. Of course, the book again is The Seduction of the Saints, and if you'd like to get it... Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and the book is The Seduction of the Saints. If you'd like to get it, why, it's actually $17.99. It's $18 plus shipping and tax here in California. But please wait a little while. I'm going to have to call our exchange and tell them that we're going to be carrying the book. It's an important book. We've carried Chuck's books in the past. I think this is by far the most important book he's written. So our number, if you want to get it, wait a little while, maybe 10 minutes to call, and then 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, as you know, we have a DVD set. It's actually in two parts, each with five DVDs called The Final Countdown, which covers a great deal of the information. Basically, everything is in place for the Lord's coming. We actually have the first five of the DVDs on a CD, so you can listen to it in your car, because you want to listen to it several times. So you're going to have these things at your fingertips. The CDs are called Countdown to Armageddon, not to be confused with the Final Countdown, which are DVDs, but the Countdown to Armageddon are the CDs. So we want you to have the information, and certainly the book is excellent, the DVDs are excellent, the CDs are excellent, but this is the information you need to have to see how what is going on today fits in to God's plan. Now, I do want to mention, of course, that there will be the Conspiracy Conference on the 5th and 6th of June. I will be the lead-off speaker on Saturday morning, and hope you can come. If you are interested, you go to conspiracycon.com. That's conspiracycon.com up on the Internet, and you can make your reservations there. Hope you want to come. We will be having our annual conference, God willing, on October the 25th of this year. Dr. Blaylock will be here. Tom Horn will be here. We'll have a great lineup of speaking of speakers, and we will, of course, if you can't get the telephone number, why, you can actually go to our website, and we will, pardon me, you can go to our, give us a call at our regular number, and we'll call you back with the number. That 800-544-8927, and we'll get you Brian Hall's number. So, and then, of course, we want to mention some of the other things we have. Actually, we carry a number of DVD sets that Pastor Billy Crone has put out. He put out the Final Countdown, and we have his 1-10 DVD set on the creation. We have a 4-DVD set on RFID, which I think is very important. It shows how they are planning to have everything and everyone and every animal marked. I mean, this is all part of a plan that was laid out thousands of years ago, and yet it's coming to fruition today. And then, of course, we have so much other information, certainly to understand the very nexus of the spiritual battle. My book, Brotherhood of Darkness, will take you into the background of the secret societies that are working on the other side. And they're joined together by a common desire. One is to create a world government. The other is to destroy Christianity. And that's why they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. And that is why television and radio and so many of our books today, even the popular books like The Shack, are aimed at destroying Christianity. The man who wrote The Shack doesn't believe in Christianity, and he intentionally wrote this book to undermine our faith in the God of the Bible, because he rejects this whole thing because he was molested as a child, and so he's out to destroy Christianity and doing a great job with the help of the New York Times. His book is on the number one on the bestseller list week after week after week. Well, understand, ladies and gentlemen, we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. I'm not sure Christian civilization is going to survive, but certainly Christianity will. Our desire is to reach as many people as we can. And if they know the Lord, to strengthen their faith. And if they don't know the Lord, then, of course, to challenge them to look at the promises of Christianity and find out what it's about. So we ask you, of course, to go to our